Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. The XFL's back in business, baby. Can you smell what the XFL is cooking? The Rock bought them. The Rock and Redbird Capital have bought... paid $15 million each. That's like a, it's a half a movie for The Rock.
It's like relatively cheap.
Doesn't it? Yeah, apparently, yeah, they picked up. So in bankruptcy filing, Alpha Entertainment, the XFL's parent, listed the league with assets and liabilities in the range of about $10 million to $50 million. XFL president Jeffrey Pollock oversaw the sale process for the league. So back in business, baby. Now, we won't have PJ, but...
is everything going to have to start from scratch?
I don't know. I think
and all that stuff?
Oh, I don't know.
Put brand new people in everywhere.
Why would they do that?
Well, because it depends on how hands-on The Rock or whoever he has underneath him. He's going to have somebody running it. Like, somebody he trusts from a business standpoint is going to be running it.
Yeah, I don't know that Oliver Luck will be back. But I would imagine each team's GM and their whole staff will be back.
Probably that. Yeah, I would imagine that.
Right.
Yeah, there's no reason.
I'm pretty sure.
I mean, leadership of the league.
Yeah, probably. It might. It probably changed because he's got the big lawsuit.
Well, he's got the money. Yeah, he's got the exactly. So, although Oliver Luck to me was a great person to have at the helm. So that's good. That's good. Spring football would be good to have unless we're playing spring football. Unless colleges are playing spring football.
We're still having spring football, XFL.
Yeah, but Houston would be playing in the same place that Houston plays.
I hope they're back here. We'll see. I hope so. We're waiting and we'll talk to we didn't need to talk to anybody because it was out, but hopefully we'll be back and we'll have it back.
We'll get The Rock on the show.
We'll probably have a better shot at Brian Michael Cooper.
But what about The Rock?
Yeah, I'm sure
The Rock will come on.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that The Rock would want to come on. He'll probably say yeah.
He should come on if we are the station who has one of his teams.
Yeah,
yeah.
Huh?
I think that's reasonable.
That's a reasonable thing.
Tweeted him, Dell. John tweeted him real quick and see if he gets.
Well, I mean, maybe not today.
Tell him to follow you and say, "Hey, follow me. I want to talk to you about something."
Tell him you're the play-by-play voice for one of his franchises.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll text him or tweet him. Okay. You want me to tweet him?
Send that man a DM.
Yeah, just tweet him. Say, "Hey, follow me. Follow back so we can DM."
I'm the play-by-play voice of one of your teams. That should get his attention.
Say that.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get a bunch of you know how many people follow you and The Rock probably? You'll get a bunch of likes if you actually tweeted them. You'll get a bunch of people who like and retweet it. Yeah, Rock, come on the show. Rock, this is John Granato. He's just like you, only different. Rock, you do it, Rock.
Yeah, just this Friday he did your famous catchphrase, but he added panties to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You love him.
I don't know if you were there for that, Lance, but John goes...
Yeah, I had to go get the... It's what made me get the gavel.
Oh, yeah. Do you smell what the panties are cooking?
Yeah.
I believe is what he said.
It was
I'm not sure I said that.
You said something close to that.
I'm not sure I said that.
Okay.
Maybe we'll run that one back now.
Okay. You're not sure
I remember
you said
I had
it.
To go I'm get not, the gavel for that one.
I'm not sure. I'm pretty
well,
sure.
Maybe Dell said it.
Maybe
you intimated it and Dell...
Well, Del said
all
it.
I remember is
pretty sure Del said
all I remember is he kept talking about how the Spicy Boy masks was like panties, and then it got it somehow, some way. He said they smell like them too, or something like that. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Can you smell? Yeah, I think I did say it.
Yeah, pretty I sure. know you did.
I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah, but that's not on me. I mean, you were leading the witness.
No, you don't.
And you pretty much did.
Don't blame me for your actions. Sir. Yeah, take responsibility.
No, you pretty much led the witness. 713-780-3776. I'm so disappointed. Are you people not excited about your teams after this weekend? The Astros just kicked. How about the Yankees are 7-1?
Mike.
Judge has homered in 5 straight games.
Yeah, hit a game winner. One of his 2 yesterday to beat the Red Sox.
We knew they were going
to
be pretty good.
Yeah, they're really, really good.
I'm surprised, too, that we don't have more people calling in, by more people any, about either the Astros and potentially Dusty Baker or Fromber in a positive way, or, you know, the front end of the lineup having some struggles, or the Rockets. The Rockets, were y'all not hyped about the Rockets beating Milwaukee yesterday? That's a really, really... Milwaukee is a legitimate contender to win the title. But I tell you what yesterday really felt like. Watching Milwaukee play against the Rockets, did it feel like they had enough? Is Chris Middleton, I don't want to be disrespectful to Middleton because he is really good. The guard play didn't feel good.
Well, don't forget Bledsoe wasn't there.
I know. I understand.
He's really good.
And he makes a big, big difference.
Yeah.
But is Middleton a good enough number 2?
Yeah, I think he is. He's an all-star.
He probably is.
Yeah. He's an all-star.
The problem was...
championship level number 2?
I mean...
well, if Giannis is your 1...
If Siakam's a championship level number 2, Middleton is 2.
Yes.
Yeah, but Siakam...
What?
Well, you're not talking about last year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but what about Kyle Landry? Kyle Lowry, and you also have Van Vliet shooting the eyes out of the ball.
Yeah, so you're going to need your guards to be played better.
Lowry was considered the 2. It's just Siakam kind of developed into that.
And Kyle Lowry, because of his past playoff failures, people were questioning, and he had some good games in the finals that put him over the top, and that's what they're going to need from a Bledsoe or a DiVincenzo or whoever. But their number 2 is front court guys, much like the Raptors were, Antetokounmpo and Middleton, just like it was with Leonard and Siakam, and you want to get contributions. And then they have Brook Lopez, who's a all-star, right below all-star level center. So you're going to need contributions from your guards. And yesterday, they were atrocious. Wes Matthews and DiVincenzo combined to be 2 of 12 from 3.
Yeah.
That can't be the case.
No, they'll be better.
They have to be better. And Bledsoe, by the way, is another guy who's had awful playoff performances. So he's a guy who has questions about him, too.
What about that stretch, though, where they just started playing defense all of a sudden? They stole, like, a couple passes in a row.
Who, the Rockets?
The Rockets.
Well, some of them were really bad passes, too. Like,
well, he didn't want.
So I don't know who he was. He was trying.
James picked Giannis once, though.
Yeah, he picked him. Then you had DiVincenzo doing stupid stuff.
He had an all around off game. You talk about the defense. The Rockets were out rebounded by almost 30, and in a normal game, that pretty much leads to a defeat. They were outshot by almost 10%. The Bucks actually shot the ball well outside from besides 3, but they turned the ball over 22 times. The Rockets got their hands on so many either deflections to stop a play from happening or simply causing a turnover. How many times did the Bucks look like they're about to score a layup and a Rocket swipe a ball away? James did it a couple times. Robert Covington did it. The Rockets were very active around the rim, and it's probably saved 4 or 5 buckets, and which appears to be the difference in the game.
Well, yeah. They went from 3:14 to 43 seconds left without scoring. And that's where the Rockets, you know, were able to the Rockets scored 1, 2, 3, 4 times and took the lead. It was 112-104, and the Rockets took the lead 113.
Yeah, I think it was
112.
An offensive rebound that led to a Middleton 3 and made it 112-104 in the Rockets. Their defense down the stretch, which has been good in these 2 games. They shut down the Mavs to get back in it. We talked about it a little bit earlier. They did the miss a free throw, and they got the rebound to tie it.
I mean, yeah. That was kind of a big deal.
Yeah,
yeah.
Against Dallas. So the Rockets' defense down the stretch of both these games has been good. Other parts of the game, not so much, but they closed strong both times.
Yep, both games. Both they had just that one little surge of defense, yeah. and that was enough.
You play 2 high-octane offenses, and sometimes like the defense for Dallas was really, really bad. So when that happens, if you want to win in the playoffs, you do have to surge defensively at times. Just at times to give the Rockets a chance. You can't be a sieve. At times, you've got to step up. And you do have some guys who will defend. You just need a little bit better help side defense, a little bit more challenge. You know, don't let people stroll in the lane. If you get beat by threes, you get beat by threes. But don't let them just stroll right to the glass. You can't have that happen. And they did a better job yesterday than Dallas got to the glass easy. Milwaukee had a little bit more challenge. Like, the Rockets kind of stepped up. Fun, though. Fun watching the game.
That was a good – that was a fun – that was a great game. A lot of fun to watch. That was the most – that's the most fun watching, because it was a great team, and they were playing exciting brand basketball. It wasn't James standing there dribble, dribble, dribble. That was great basketball yesterday, I thought. All right, there's six games on tap today. Where are you going to bet them? Okay, because you probably know who's going to win. The Lakers are 7-point favorites over Utah. How's that going to go? Raptors. When is this game? This game starts early. 12:30.
12:30.
Raptors and Heat. You going to be home by then, Dell?
Yeah, I'll pick the lunch.
You're going to take the +3?
I'm not betting on I don't bet on my team's
play. Well, here's the deal, is if you bet, you've got all of it right here. You can still get World Series odds right now, MLS knockout game odds. It's right. It's here. You can bet the PGA Championship is this week. MyBookie.ag. MyBookie.ag. The U.S. presidential election odds. You want to bet on who's going to be the next president? MyBookie.ag. Promo code radio. Right now, they'll match whatever you put in your initial deposit. Say you put $100 in. Now you got $200 to play with. If you put $1,000 in, $2,000 to play with, and so on and so forth. Listen, it's so much fun, and it's such an easy, it's so much easier. You've got, it's so much easier to bet right now online than it has been before. It's nothing. And you can do live betting as well. Casino. You got racing. You can bet on your horse races as well. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims. And you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5. Lance is a bachelor now. Today.
I'm not a bachelor.
When did the divorce go through?
That's not true.
They're all leaving town.
Well, he said
that doesn't make me a bachelor.
Yeah,
you're batching bachelor it. Means I'm you're batching single.
It. You're batching it this week.
Are you batching it?
No, how long? I'm not batching. How long I'm sitting are around. I'm doing. Let's see. Pandemic. I'm doing the same thing I would always do. Usually when they'd go out, you know what I do? The fun things I do, like would go to a movie for two straight. I might go to a movie. Why is Riff Raff on my TV? I might go to a movie for go see back to back movies or something. Not now. You don't do that now. Movies don't exist anymore. There's no such thing as movie theater.
Well, you can watch them.
You just binge shows.
You can
sit down or lay down, and you don't move for 4 to 6 hours.
Well, no one does. Well, you
try not
do
to move. I'm trying not to move. I'm trying to binge.
But you can go play poker. You can go to a bar. They're open still.
I'm not coronavirusing. I'm not going to coronavirus.
I don't think that's just, that's.
Yeah, I don't want to do things around people.
You don't want to be around people.
Mm-hmm. No, not in the middle of a pandemic. I don't.
Really, you should extend that to everyday.
Because if
life.
I do, then guess what? And I get it. Then you're going to have to get tested, and yep. The whole station's going to have to shut down. And
that's shut down. So you get tested. Somebody got it.
You stay home.
Really? Then just go home. Yeah.
But I prefer Lance's way of thinking that, hey, let's talk. Think about the greater good.
Yeah.
Why would I want to put
John's immediately go to the bar immediately
and just put anyone you
come. I might go there. I might go over to, LeShane has a bunch of sandwiches now, right?
So yeah,
he's doing a sandwich shop too. So
you know you're old when you're like a sandwich.
No,
oh my god, my wife's out of town. I'm gonna go get a sandwich.
I might go over there, have a sandwich for dinner, and then have a drink with him. but it would be later or earlier. It would be like right when they open. Well, they are open for the, but they don't have a lunch service, but now they have the sandwich service that they're doing from their side doors, just curbside. You can pick it up. And I've had the chicken parm. I've had the fish sandwich they do. I've had, they've got, man, the chopped cheese is unbelievable. I'm going to make that guy bring us some food because we're starving.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Is he bringing fries?
Well, I'm going to tell him he's going to have to. I'm not bringing that scumbag Granado fries. We're not doing a. We're not getting the fryer going at that time. That scumbag. But
I like that
exactly
guy.
What he'll say. He calls him a scumbag all the time.
Is he wrong?
Where's that scumbag? No, he's right around the corner. What's he over at Luling's again? Get that scumbag
yes.
over here.
Yes.
Tell him to spend some money.
He's probably at Luling's. Yes.
Tell him to spend some money over here.
Okay. Get a TV. Okay. Tell him about spend
John's
some
whole
money
thing revolves around a TV.
John, how could you go there yesterday?
John was turned.
You had golf, Astros, Rockets.
And they were closed.
Okay, good.
So you couldn't
you
go
know
there.
What? There was no reason to open.
What about today?
Because he doesn't have a TV.
Can you listen to John? He mentioned golf first.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
Did you win your fantasy league?
I don't play fantasy anything.
Thank you. Good night.
That doesn't make any sense because I don't play anything. I don't care.
JT winning. Thank you. Good night.
Do you, to swing it to the Astros for a second, I think I'm going to struggle with Dusty Baker this year. So far, he has just done the taking out of Zach Greinke as early as he did. Now, maybe he knew something about, you know, the arguments. Well, maybe he knew about Justin Verlander at that time. But the taking out and keeping in of pitchers that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Fromber's deep out in yesterday had the home team broadcast even making comments where they were having a hard time biting their tongue, like, man, no one's even warming up. Man, that's
crazy.
That's, wow. That's a lot of confidence in Fromber. Like, I guess this is Fromber's game to lose. Still no one in the pen. This is pretty interesting. You could see Blum was losing his mind as all this was going on. But I don't know. I don't feel like I didn't always love, and this is just the nature of second guessing when you're a baseball fan. You always second guess a manager when they take a guy out, when they don't. I get that. But Dusty's doing some things that feel really strange. Like coming with Devo, when he came with Devo. What? Why are you rolling with Devo in that spot? And then Devo, you know, got injured shortly thereafter. But, boy, the Fromber thing yesterday just really, it was a problem. I wonder if they are going to look to replace Josh James sooner rather than later with another arm. That's what I wonder if that's going to happen. How long it's going to take. If they're going to use him as an opener.
Forrest
if
Whitley.
They're going to bring Forrest Whitley to the big show and let him have a chance. I don't know. Whoever it's going to be. But I don't know that they're going to stay with the status quo for long if they don't start getting more consistency. That's the one thing we saw with Click is, now, you also, he was forced into bringing up Scrub and making the changes that he did because of injuries, because of injuries to the pitching staff. That's a lot of injuries. That's three injuries in the first six games, first seven games you had. You got a Verlander, then Devo, then Osuna. Am I missing somebody? Beside the guys that are already injured, Verlander, Devo, Osuna, you're waiting to get Urquidy back, which will be a big one.
Yes.
To get Urquidy back.
That's where Josh James beats it.
But the big story.
But listen, Fromber's not starting now.
Yeah, but I mean, he's basically starting.
Well, maybe he starts Josh James's spot next week. Well, they had a day off today, so Fromber
didn't. It doesn't matter. If he's going six innings, he's a starter.
They had the day off today, so he wasn't going to get the start anyway.
But the big story, look, I don't love how Dusty has handled the pen so far in the situations, but I did love that he came with Blake Taylor when he did. Blake Taylor has been the story this season of the pitching staff, has been Blake and really Fromber. I mean, Fromber was money yesterday. He's been good so far. Fromber, his stuff has looked good. His location has looked good. And then Blake Taylor getting big outs in leverage situations has been a godsend for that team.
Forget about it. I didn't see this. Forrest Whitley battling arm discomfort. And so he's shut down.
No, it doesn't say shut down.
Yeah, he's shut down.
It says shut down. What does it say?
So has battled arm discomfort both during summer camp and during recent throwing sessions at the secondary site. Whitley's bad luck continues. He battled shoulder problems for much of last season, struggled to a 799. Oh, my gosh. Forrest Whitley, want to talk about a bunch of hype over nothing. Goodness gracious. Talk about. So here's a story right here in Breitbart. Ratings crash for NBA, Major League Baseball, after protest-filled debuts. The Lakers, Clippers, 3.4 million. Pelicans, Jazz, 2.1. Yankees, Nationals, first night, 4.0. Dodgers, Giants, 2.8. But on the second night, the Mets, Braves, 922,000. Cubs, Brewers, 1 million. Angels, A's, 797,000. These are minuscule numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Celtics, Bucks, 1.3. Mavs, Rockets, 1.7 million.
How much of that is people have just kind of this is the concern, is that people have checked out on those, that baseball 60 games, basketball is, like, this isn't when they're used to seeing basketball. How much of that
5.8 million people tuned in to watch Tom Brady be horrible playing golf.
Yeah, so we had no sports.
But it's not like we're being inundated with sports right now.
What time was Clippers Lakers? That game was late.
It didn't. It started at 8, though. That wasn't bad. Here, 8 here, 9 there.
Oh, I was. It was still. No. I think it was later than that when it got started, because it was 11:30. It was still on when it was. No, it was 10:30.
Yeah,
and it was 10:30, 11:30 Eastern time. Yeah,
it should have been still on at 10:30. 2.5 hours.
But it was still only in like the third quarter.
Oh,
it was running. When did that game start? Because it felt like it was much later than that.
I don't know. I don't know. Is it because I don't think it's because of the kneeling? Do you?
Well, that's what they're couching it as. But if you look at other articles, it says ratings skyrocket. NBA ratings. So I guess it all depends on who's writing it and what their agenda is.
What they're looking for. Yeah. Yeah. Data dredging. Let me see.
The marquee game of the doubleheader between Lakers and Rockets peaked with an average of 4.1 million viewers between 6:45 and 7 p.m. Pacific.
So Lakers and Rockets.
Lakers and Clippers, excuse me. Peaked with an average of 4.1 million viewers between.
Well, it ended up 3.4. That was the rating for it.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you when it peaked.
See, then they're pulling out a peak of 15 minutes and trying to make that the headline.
Well, they mentioned the 3.4 as well. But
is that the inside hook?
Yes.
Well, okay. That's Lakers-Clippers. That should be, right? And plus, it was in prime time. I think it did start at 8 o'clock.
Okay, so here's Sports Media Watch, which has been doing this for years and years. NBA returns with solid numbers. So now you don't have to have Breitbart, which has a side, and somebody else.
Well,
on the side.
Returns with solid numbers. For the first night? What
well,
is it
let
saying?
Well, let me tell you what they said. The restart of the NBA season, Sports Media Watch has been out forever. And they look at ratings.
Yeah, no.
I've been looking at them for over 20 years. Thursday's Clippers-Lakers regular season game averaged 2.1 rating and 3.35 million viewers on TNT, marking the ninth largest audience of the protracted season. Six of the top nine have been Laker games, including all four of the team's matchup with the Clippers. The Lakers' narrow win peaked with 4.1 million. It was the most watched game on TNT since the same matchup on opening night back in October. So of 3.58.
Well, right, but they're just talking about just that game.
Right, but they're talking about a game,
right.
Clippers-Lakers, that was the highest rated game since opening night. So I don't think that was necessarily
hurt. As well, it should be.
Okay.
Yeah.
It said overall it was the most watched NBA game in just 4 days of gameplay since Lakers-Clippers on March 8th, 3 days after the league suspended. Compared to other national sports returns from hiatus, Clippers-Lakers was no match for the previous week's Yankees-Nationals MLB opener, 4 million, or NASCAR's return on Darlington back in May of 6.32.
That's when we had nothing else.
Yeah, it did top the final round of the PGA Tour's first event back of 3.09. Early in the night, as you mentioned, Jazz Pels averaged a 1.3. It was the most watched NBA game not involving the Lakers since Rockets Celtics on ABC in February. So it's actually not those. It's not that different, according to this.
Well, here's the thing, though. I think everybody expected
the ratings were
have
been down this
giant,
year.
Though I think it,
yeah, now that may be true.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Well, because but they're not getting the same bumps, it doesn't look like, as race car or Tom Brady playing golf. It's like, okay, now that it's here, everyone acted like, and that's the thing.
Yeah, but that's not a
friend. Can you imagine when sports comes back, it's going to be 15 million share? Like, no. No, now that it's actually a reality, people are like, oh, yeah, that's right. I don't watch as much NBA.
And what network was the Tom Brady thing on?
It was nationally televised, wasn't it?
It was on CBS.
Okay. What
And this is TNT.
Yeah. And what was NASCAR on Fox?
Yeah.
I don't cable, Fox. I don't know if that's still a clear line.
I wonder what last night did.
Now, how about
Rockets,
this?
Bucks on ABC. On Sunday
night. Yeah, I'm interested to see that one. We'll find out. Apparently, the post game for Inside the NBA averaged 1.3 million, the largest audience for that show since the start of the 2018-2019 season.
Well, that's
so people just tuned in.
Yeah.
That's the post game. People stuck around.
Well, because of Charles and, yeah.
No, but that's the same crew as always. So they were stuck around and watched the highest number in 2 years. But every game can't be Lakers-Clippers. That's the thing.
Well, it'll be interesting to see Lakers-Bucks ratings. Okay, no, we don't know.
But the initial thing from
at least it's not out yet.
The article that you read initially, John, was, well, it's the wokeness, so that's why people aren't watching.
Well, I think that might have been Breitbart was copying OutKick.
Well, they're practically...
And you know how Travis is.
At some points, they're practically the same thing.
Breitbart's been, it's been out for a while.
Yeah.
Clay.
No, but he was quoting OutKick.
Oh, quoting the stats. Oh, yeah. The stats. Okay. Wrote that? Wait, who wrote the Breitbart article?
I don't know.
You may be surprised.
I think Steve Bannon wrote it.
No. No, you may be surprised. I know who one of the writers
AOC?
Is.
No, it seems unlikely. But the headline is ratings crash for NBA MLB after protest field debuts.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the guy Dylan Gwynn who used to do sports talk here? He's a writer for them now.
Is he?
Yeah.
For Breitbart?
Uh-huh. Whoever Warner Todd Houston is.
He's a bit conservative, Dylan.
A bit.
Just a tad conservative. 930 ESPN 97.5. I'm hoping Jeff Aronoff's going to be conservative in his bid. Well, he's going to come over and he's going to give us an estimate for what we're doing with our new place. And he is going to, there's marble work to be done. There's flooring. There's wall, drywalling. There's outdoor patio. There's even lawn stuff to be done. It's a huge job. And Jeff's coming over today and we're going to take a look and get the estimate from him. And here's the deal is, I'm just expecting it to be great. And not just because it's me, but if you're a 97.5 listener, he's going to give you 20% off. And all of this stuff, I mean, it doesn't matter what it is, has to do with your house. His workers can do anything. They fixed our countertops. They put in our outdoor kitchen before. And well, you know what? We're going to see what they can do here. We got entire rooms, bathroom, shower, entire rooms that have to be done. Insulation, everything. So we're gonna get all this done with Jeff today. I will report back to you tomorrow on what Jeff is doing. So here's the deal: is if you're looking for that guy that can do all of those things, you call Jeff Aronoff. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. He is excellent at this stuff. He will get the job done. You're looking for that kind of workmanship. 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 934 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713. I would like to hear a phone call about the Rockets or the Astros today.
I mean, for real. Do you guys, you guys are talking on Twitter. That's fine, too. But also, yeah, Presley. Yeah, KJ reminded us. Presley's also back. Hurt.
Huh?
Well, Presley's been hurt.
Yeah. So but he's back.
Yeah, I know, but you've had Presley out, all those guys.
Yeah. But it's good to have him back, even though we'll see how long it takes him to get back into form.
Shut down Whitley.
That is just, I mean, talk about biggest.
He said they're optimistic and hopeful, the Astros are, that it's something minor. Something that I don't feel anymore with Forrest Whitley.
Have we seen more hype here in the city about somebody coming and been and we're in nothing?
Since Forrest Whitley, it's been Yordan. Well, yeah, Yordan. Oh, no, not nothing.
No, we're talking about getting hype. Nothing. How much hype have we gotten in?
Jonathan Singleton, you probably have to wait. It probably goes all the way back to Singleton.
But at least he made it to the big leagues.
Yeah, but he made it and it was nothing. There was all that hype. Usually when there's all that hype, you make it. This is rare. If you'd have hype and you don't even make it.
This is really rare.
This is rare.
That you won't even get there.
With a lot of hype and it was a huge washout. But, I mean, this kid also he's kind of a self-check pitcher. He had the issues with whatever it was that was against the drug testing policy and missed all that time. Then last year he wasn't any good. And then he was good in this other league. But then now he comes back and he's got some arm soreness. Just like, man, untouchable.
I don't remember a guy that has had more fanfare or been such a huge part of the organization and contributed zero to it. I don't know. Maybe somebody can come to mind on Twitter or whatever, because no one has a phone anymore. Right or wrong, there's a subset of former consumers that are not watching MLB or NBA for the political stuff. Some folks just want sports, novel idea.
No, that's true. Okay.
I'm sure there are.
The question's going to be.
I know there are some people that said they're done with the NFL because of it.
Then I don't know how we've talked about this. I think we have. Is it political to take a knee? Is it still? I know it is.
It is a political
thing. I know, but has any player said this is because I don't like Republicans or Democrats?
No, but if that's your perception, it doesn't matter. Perception is the reality. But my question would be: is there really that high a percentage of people who were watching the NBA that now are not because they were turned off by the kneeling before the national anthem? I know there's going to be some for sure. But is that the high percentage? Like, man, I was a big, pro standing for the anthem, this, that, and the other basketball fan, and now I'm just not. I mean, the NBA has had can't breathe shirts, shooter shirts. The NBA has been, now, not during the national anthem. They haven't had, that previously. They haven't had those issues. But I just feel like the people who would be most upset about what is happening probably weren't really in on pro basketball hardcore anyway as a P1.
I mean,
maybe they check out Lakers Clippers.
I mean, they might have watched for simply because it's sports and it's on, but maybe they're not locked in. I don't know who is and who isn't doing it. But I think John made the point, and he said it multiple times, that the George Floyd thing isn't political. I think most players are saying this is another part of that, and it's not political. We're not even thinking about politics.
Well, the anthem thing has already been politics. Yeah. When you have a political figure like the president say, if you disrespect the flag, I mean, let's face it, that is the original issue that has become politicized. And so for many people, at least, it has become very politicized. And so, yeah, so if it's already politicized for you as a consumer, then you come off one way or the other. I think the way Drew Brees was also treated was really off-putting to a lot of people who really would have been more of an ally and thought, wait, this isn't right that this guy should get killed for his opinion. That's the whole thing we're fighting for people to be able to make a statement and have an opinion.
Is the belief that, Democrats just support it and Republicans don't, that's why people believe it's political? Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's people like to make an easy line in the sand and just say, okay, this makes it easy. My team, your team.
Getting some Mark Appel. Mark Appel signed. He never signed with the organization, so he was never part of the team.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
No, you're thinking of somebody else. Mark Appel was in Double A.
Mark Appel never signed. We drafted him, and he didn't sign that year, and then he went back in the draft.
Am I thinking of somebody else? I think you're thinking of somebody else.
No. They took Mark Appel, and because Mark Appel didn't sign. No. It was the other guy.
Yeah.
No. I was thinking of. You're right.
Drew Stubbs.
Not Drew Stubbs. Who was the other? Because of him, they got Bregman. He didn't sign. The lefty. That's right.
Yeah.
Mark Appel made it to
Mark Appel.
Mark Appel was one because he was such a great.
Actually, Mark Appel made it to AAA because you remember the big deal was the Astros promoted him despite the fact that he wasn't very good, I think, in single A. They promoted him to double A because this is what really threw me off is they liked his numbers.
You're talking about Brady Aiken.
Brady Aiken, yeah.
They liked Mark Appel's numbers, his spin numbers. And at the time, in his analytics of his pitches, I'm like, what? This guy stinks. Why are y'all advancing him? Is this just to make yourself look good? But that's before I really understood. This is early on in the process that the Astros are all about spin rate stuff. So they must have seen, I think in their tracking, they liked the way his spin rate was coming along, and that's why they moved him up. But yeah, I knew Appel. I don't know if he made it to AAA, but Mark Appel would be the
guy. Here's
the
perfect one. Forrest Whitley is Tony Boselli.
Yeah, Boselli had been an all-pro.
But he never – he was the number one pick for this organization and never played it down.
Yeah. Well, from an excitement level. See, I don't know that level of excitement has been with Forrest Whitley. I think it's been good. Typical of having a Baseball America, you know, one of the top prospects. I felt more hype over George Springer coming up. Springer and Singleton had more hype to me. Now, that was a terrible Astro team, and we just wanted anyone. But Springer and Singleton, to me, remember, it was Springer and Singleton. It wasn't just George Springer. Singleton was a big part of that, too. We were hyped on both of them.
Well, I think the most hype we've seen, I mean, remember Bregman when he came up? Even more so than Springer.
You thought there was more with Bregman? He came up so fast. We had to wait for Springer.
Yeah. No.
Bregman was up like in a year.
But remember when, I mean, he was terrible at first, and yet he was still getting standing ovations.
Yeah, Mark Appel, by the way, did make it to AAA with the Astros.
Yeah, he ended up making it. Yeah. I was thinking of Brady Aiken. Chuck wants to get in here. What do you say, Chuck?
What's going on, guys? Hey, I just wanted to chime in on what y'all were talking about as far as, like, the political. I don't think it's as much of a Democrat-Republican thing as everybody makes it out to be because they've been fighting for years. I think a lot of people, when they look at Black Lives Matter, don't realize it is a political organization with Marxist ties and wanting to destroy, in their mission statement, Western culture. I mean, that's where it gets kind of dusty. Maybe the players don't know. Maybe they do. I understand what the players are trying to do. I'm just saying that when people look it up, and this comes across from Black conservatives, white liberals, and anybody who knows what the organization is. That's just a thought. Just wanted to chime in. Thank y'all.
Yeah, I don't think most people know that. I think Black Lives Matter to people is more of a movement. And it's aimed at the police to stop killing young African Americans.
It just so happens that the name coincides with a political, or he called a political group, a group. But you ask a player who's doing it, are you a member of Black Lives Matter? They probably wouldn't say yes. They say Black Lives Matter mean our lives matter. Stop killing us.
Yes.
Just stop killing us, pretty much is what it is, and treat us with respect. I mean, yes, there's a group. You can go to the website and read it and take into account what it is and make your own decisions about that. But I think the general consensus is these are players and others saying, hey, treat us equally.
Yes.
That is the basis of what is going on here.
That's absolutely – well, that's the way I view it. The whole political – and the mission statement and all of that stuff, I would imagine 90% of people don't even equate Black Lives Matter with stop killing young African Americans.
And people who get upset about the actual website are mostly politicians and people who like to have these political back and forths. But as far as the actual people out there protesting and standing up for what they believe in, it's not. Mm-mm. It's not something they're pushing.
944 ESPN 97.5. Time to be a champion. That's what it's time to be. You see Bregman on those. You see Bregman hitting a baseball through that guy's bill. Yeah, that's right. That's what Bregman does. I wish he'd hit more baseballs in the games, but Right now, though, what I do like about him is that he's firmly behind Champion Energy. He loves him some Champion Energy. I love me some Champion Energy. I pay less for my bill every month because Champion Energy, if you're looking for a great way to save money every single month, champion.energy/1560, champion.energy/1560.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Johnny wants to get in here, talk a little BLM. What you say, Johnny?
Hey, guys. What's going on? I just wanted to really quickly chime in on the whole Black Lives Matter thing that people seem to be getting confused with. There's a show called Parks and Recreation.
Mm-hmm.
And on one of the episodes, it shows a cult group, jokey stuff, and they're saying the world is going to end, and they call themselves the Reasonableist. The reason why they did this is because if you disagree with it, it's like, so you're against being reasonable. And I feel like that's kind of how the organization is looked at. Because if you disagree with, if you say I'm not with Black Lives Matter, and you mean the organization, it sounds like you're saying you don't care about Black lives. So it's pretty strategic. It's simple, but it's pretty strategic how they did it. I'm all for the statement and the sentiment of Black Lives Matter, and I'm a black guy. But I don't agree with the organization because it shouldn't have to be an organization. I think there's someone just manipulated the situation and tried to turn it into something that takes away from the overall point of equality. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, we've talked about that before, how there is a movement and there's a sentiment. And it is hard for some people to differentiate the two because you feel like it's one and the same. But for some people, it's very different. It's not one and the same. One is a movement and one is the sentiment. Because the sentiment is really a perfect sentiment. Black Lives Matter. The only thing that could have been different if you said Black Lives Matter 2. I've read an article 3 years ago about that. And that shuts everyone down about what about all lives? Like, this is just saying, hey, we matter too, just like the rest of you. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know what to add to that. People's thoughts are their thoughts, and you know, you would hope most people would. For some people, they're going to say, look, I'm not with, because there is a movement that is separate from just the idea that, and so which one does the NBA, it's almost like it's hard to separate the two because of the phrasing, like you said, but I mean, for a lot of people, they do separate it. Well, they say, look, that I'm not, you know, the organization, I don't like some of the things, some of the fringe elements, but you have fringe elements with any organization, it seems like, anymore. But the sentiment, you can't back. Why would you not back the sentiment?
Well, LeBron was asked about not necessarily the organization, but he says it's not a movement for us. It's just a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're looking for is for that way of life to mean the same thing to everyone, that we're all the same in terms of what our lives mean and treat us that way. And that should be a simple step towards what we're looking for.
That's more, and so the whole political thing. I'm on record for that. Did you guys see this? Dude doesn't wear a mask on the plane and gets his ass kicked during the flight. They are beating this dude up. Watch, they've got him on the ground, kneeling on him. He won't wear. You are really look at it.
Oh, watch the knee.
You watch the knee. I know. They have more than one guy's kneeling on him, holding him down. I think they've got his hands tied behind his back, too, because he wouldn't wear a mask. He's bloodied. He got punched out. He's being held on the floor of the flight while it's in flight. This is all happening in flight. Man.
The biggest upset of that whole thing, not Spirit.
No, it wasn't on Spirit. It was KLM. It was in Europe. They were going to Ibiza to have a good time. Everybody goes to Ibiza to have a good time. And this guy's not having a good time.
Look, I'm all for treating non-mask wearers on planes like terrorists. I mean, beat their asses to the ground.
You think everyone who doesn't wear a mask on a plane should be beat?
If you look, if you have corona, now there's some studies that say, in fact, I forgot who it was, because when the Major League Baseball investigation was going on about the Marlins, whoever ran the airline that they're on goes, look, we haven't found any evidence that if you get on one of our planes that it's a super spreader scenario, because they recirculate air, they clean it, whatever. But I don't care. If you got COVID and you're on a plane, you're not, or maybe whoever, whatever you have, if you're on a plane without a mask, beat their ass down.
The ironic thing, the guy who punched him in the nose, gave him a bloody nose, wasn't wearing a mask.
Maybe his mask fell off.
It might have fallen off. There were other guys. I mean, it looks like everybody who's fighting here, nobody's got a mask on.
The guy who got punched also didn't have a shirt on.
He didn't have a shirt on. But I think maybe it could have gotten ripped off before then. I just think it's fun. I think that's a good flight to be on.
You do?
Yeah.
Would have jumped in?
Yeah.
I'd
just watch. I'd be the guy videotaping or something. I don't care if you.
Well, you saw two.
I'm not going to. Listen, I'm not with you. If you don't wear a mask on a plane, stay away from me.
You might as well be carrying a box cutter in my eyes.
You know, my wife yesterday, out of nowhere, she goes, "Who is Aubrey Huff?" I'm like, what's going on?
Who's Aubrey Huff?
Who's Aubrey Huff?
He's our guy.
She's looking at her phone. We love doing him. Right? Doing the scroll finger. Scroll finger, scroll finger, scroll finger. Who's Aubrey Huff? He's just...
Well, he thinks that women should feed him grapes.
No, if a woman from a foreign country like Afghanistan, we save you, we bring you over here.
Then you're going to feed us grapes.
You should fan us and feed us grapes.
Yeah.
He just says incendiary things on social media.
Hold on. Where's your gavel?
No.
You didn't hear what he just said?
No, I didn't hear.
He goes, what'd he say? What's wrong with what he said?
No, I said, what's wrong?
What's wrong with what he said?
Yeah, I said Lance's shoulder. I was talking about his shoulder.
No.
Let's get C-Dub in here. Wants to talk about the Rockets. What do you say, C-Dub?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
We learned a lot about the Rockets yesterday. I'm sure you would agree. I think the Rockets understand that against most teams in the league, they're not going to win the rebound game, but they hope that they can make up for it with the forced turnovers. And we see the Bucks, they forced a lot of turnovers against the Bucks. So I think the Rockets are banking on their ability to force turnovers. But also, they are doing very well with not turning the ball over themselves, except for Russell Westbrook. And I think teams are going to start looking at that. Russ has got to get his turnovers under control. But I think the Rockets, they look pretty good. My only concern is Westbrook, and can they keep that energy up,
mm-hmm.
or will they get tired out exerting themselves more than most teams?
What do you think teams are going to – let me ask you something, because I'm with you. What do you think teams are going to do in terms of trying to trying to take advantage of the Westbrook situation and the ball handling, the turnovers?
Well, what I think is they're going to continue to do what they've been doing. They're going to try to force the ball out of James' hands. Yep. I think teams really do want Westbrook to run the offense because they know that he is turnover prone. That's just what I think the strategy will become if they continue to look at film. Westbrook can make good decisions. We see a few good kickouts to the corner, finding TJ. But at times, you know, he can be really out of control going inside. Sometimes he doesn't make the best decisions. He chooses to pass the ball in the air, and that usually leads to a turnover.
Usually, yeah. I think that how teams try to take the ball out of James's hand is going to be the key, because I would do the same thing. Thanks for the call, CW. Good stuff. I would do the same thing. I would run doubles at James, and some teams do that. They'll run a double at James. Although James, the other day, the Mavs tried to run a soft double at him, and he was like splitting it and going to the hole, getting easy baskets. He wasn't just getting rid of the ball automatically, but I would probably run soft doubles at him and put it in Westbrook's hands too.
In close games against the Rockets, particularly late in games in the playoffs, I'm running doubles at James. I'm pressuring him in the backcourt because we've seen he has been shaky, throwing the ball away. You're like, what is that? What pass that? In playoff games, in pressure situations, I know there's no crowds, but there will still be pressure. I will shock him with those doubles and see how it goes.
I don't know. Is James like... I think I want James with the ball in the last seconds.
No,
if I'm the other team.
Yeah, if you're in the front court and he's 1-on-1 to win. But like if you're trying to steal a possession from the Rockets, I would run a double and see how he handles it. Because he generally is not prepared and he's a little shaky. So I would do that maybe a couple times in a series just to see if you can steal a possession.
Who are you leaving open?
Obviously, it just depends on who's in the game.
You can't. Well,
but I would do.
You can't come off a Russ.
I would do it in the backcourt and see how he handles it, because we saw last year in the playoffs. Now Russ wasn't there clearly, but he turned the ball a couple times in that Warriors series in Game 6.
Yeah, but you want only three guys back with Russ on the floor?
I will take my look. All I've seen from James is in those situations he is loose with the basketball, and we'll see what happens. And Russ, back off and make him shoot a 15-footer. See what happens.
Okay, what if they're in the forecourt? You sending two guys at him?
Sometimes you have to be strategic about it. You don't want it to be something he can see coming. But I have just seen him, regular season games, postseason games, be a little shaky when he gets hit with that shot.
Chances are, though, since PJ's standing in the corner, the double's going to have to come off Covington's guy or Russ's guy.
I would get him right as soon as he crosses a half court.
Man,
and see what he does.
We've seen teams.
I don't know if I want to do that and give it to Russ with a 4-on-3.
That's fine. I just know what James does in those situations, and he's not that calm. He turns the ball over. You take a shot. If it burns you, it burns you. But if you're looking to find a way to keep them from having a possession, you hit him with it and see what happens.
You know, it's not unlike showing a quarterback different coverages, different looks. That's what you don't want James. You never want to be static with the way that you're going to cover somebody who's a great scorer. You always want to throw them different looks, different angles. They have an expectation of what you're going to do already. Show them different, you know, give them different ideas of what is coming, make them think. But it's a no-brainer. You got to take the ball out of James's hands, and then you live with Russ. And sometimes Russ will just, you know, Russ is going to kill you, but sometimes Russ is going to kill the Rockets. So we'll see. We'll see. They will take it out of James's hands more.
Russ not taking threes. I want the ball. Listen, I'll take that, especially if you're throwing two guys at James. I'll take my chances with Russ playing 4-on-3 with the ball in his hands.
Well, but you also are going to have to live with higher turnover numbers.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah.
And you don't have to. When you run a soft double.
He's a pretty good decision maker, though, when he gets down the lane.
You think Russ is?
Yeah, I do. I see him too often. He's hitting guys open in the corner.
He's crazy. Last night was a great example of why I don't like the ball in his hands full time. Crazy Russ is just a thing.
Well, yeah, but there's also Russ, finishing Russ, and there's also...
I love finishing Russ.
Yeah.
I don't like when he jumps up in the air and Steve Francis is it.
Steve Francis is it?
No, where he jumps in the air like, verb. Now what?
That's not a verb, Steve Francis-ing things.
But if I say that you Steve Francis it,
well, I know what that, I know, okay. It's not a positive. I know that about it.
Probably involves turtles.
Beat it, Lance. Oh, you don't even have a family anymore.
Well, they're not dead.
At home.
He called me a bachelor. Now he felt like I'm a widower or something.
Yeah, now you're a widower.
You don't even have a family
anymore.
They're
on the road.
No, they're not. They're at home.
Oh, they're still home?
I'm supposed to go see them, yeah.
Oh, you got to see them before they leave?
Yeah,
you just saw them yesterday. All day.
I've seen him for the last 5 months.
How's Meemaw doing?
Meemaw? Mimi?
Or whatever.
Meemaw?
She's fine. She's not Meemaw. That's like a Czech name. Oh. Meemaw. Meemaw.
Is Meemaw going to South Park?
Mimi's going there too. She got a swimsuit yesterday. She went to like Sam's Club or Costco or something and brought all these treats, these cinnamon rolls and brownies and chips and all this stuff, and it's all going to be loaded in a car. And they're just going to take it. I just had to look at it and go, oh, must be nice.
You didn't get nothing.
It's going, all of it's
Meemaw
going for the trip.
Meemaw didn't get you nothing.
All of it's going for the trip.
Not one thing. Said, Lance, this
no,
is for
she
you.
She told me I could. Yeah, she always lets me have. She goes, you can have that. But my wife is like, that's for the trip. Well, how long are y'all going to be gone? 3 months? Look how much food you got.
You can only pray, Lance.
Back in the day, it would mean, you know, I'm going to the casino, or I'm going to. Yeah, I'm doing something. I'm doing me stuff.
They're leaving on a Monday. Let's see.
Like Monday to Friday.
Oh, see, that's bad. If they were going over the weekend, you'd have 2 days off. You'd go to Lake Charles or whatever.
I told you, I don't want to do coronavirus-y things.
Well, that's terrible. That's your.
Tell it to the Cardinals. Let's go to the casino. You know it can't possibly have any germs? A casino where cards and chips are multiple.
Tillman's not going to advertise here anymore. Okay.
Never did.
All right.
When did Tillman?
Hasn't for years.
Yeah. I forget.
Saltgrass, right?
Actually, never did.
No, Saltgrass. Yeah, 6'10".
We were six Saltgrass, but not the Nugget.
Oh yeah, we've been to the Nugget plenty since we've been here. Plenty.
What do you mean been to the Nugget?
We did shows from there, from the Nugget.
How long ago?
It's been a couple of years.
Yeah, now. It's been a few years. But Salisbury, we were doing it. Right? We were doing it quite a bit
when Salisbury was here. I think.
Were
yeah.
you?
Yeah, me and Sean did it.
Man, that's a good old days.
Yeah.
You could go do that.
Yeah.
I remember when we were 16, he had us fly out to the Nugget back then.
And who do you think owns Del Frisco's that I was just doing, not recently, okay? Tillman.
That I was not doing recently.
I was doing recently.
Oh, yeah. I'm just talking strictly about
general
gambling.
I guess no more.
Well, I guess he messed up your bag.
I guess that, yeah. He's in my pocket now. Well, Meemaw stays forever now. 10:02 ESPN 97.5. Time for us to talk about. Listen, you drive up to your house. You take a look at your roof. My guys over at Caliber Roofing, I really like these guys. They're really good guys, Easton and all the guys over there. They're really good guys, and they will come to your home and they'll give you a free inspection, and they're going to tell you how you can minimize your out of pocket costs. It's a free inspection, and if you don't have any problems with your roof, they're going to say you're fine. Call us in 5 years. If you're dealing with an insurance company, well, guess what? They will deal with them. Don't get too far down the road because your insurance adjuster he's not going to give you the fair appraisal. Let these guys come and talk to them and show them what they have to do. And if roof damage happens, storm, tree branches, hail, wind. That's why you have insurance. They're going to get you hopefully what you deserve. But they're going to definitely work the insurance company. They're doing all of this. Caliber Roofing and Exteriors. You're going to really love these guys. Financing is available. They use top quality Owens Corning roofing shingles, locally owned and operated. I'm telling you, trust these guys. Caliber Roofing and Exteriors. 713-823-9355 or go to 975roof.com. That's 975roof.com.
ESPN 97.5.